Spartan citizens were supervised everywhere. Each generation, like a jailer, kept its watch upon the next. The Spartans mistrusted the exuberance of youth. If there had to be a change in Sparta, whether of custom or law, then it was for the elderly to pass the needed reform. Only in Sparta, of all the cities in Greece, would a young man habitually step aside to make way for his senior, for he was, with such a gesture of respect, simultaneously paying honour to the laws and customs of his people. Even the titular heads of state were obliged to respect their authority. For the Spartans, peculiar in all things, had not one, but two kings. Pushed too hard against the limits of what was constitutional, and they would quickly find themselves arraigned by their city's supreme court, a legislative body that, aside from the two kings themselves, consisted entirely of gerontocrats aged over 60. The Spartans called this intimidating body the Gerousia, a name which, like the Roman Senate, had the literal meaning of a council of elders. Even the newest born baby was subjected to the proddings of old men. Should an infant be judged too sickly or deformed to make a future contribution to the city, then the elders would order its immediate termination. A cleft beside the road which wound over the mountains to Messenia, the apothetai, or dumping ground, provided the setting for the infanticide. There, where they might no longer shame the city that had bred them, the weak and deformed would be slung into the depths of the chasm. Spartan children couldn't help but grow up proudly conscious of themselves as an elite, chosen as such at birth. Babies, soft and helpless, had to be toughened and fashioned into Spartans. No swaddling, no cosseting, no indulging of their whims. Unsurprisingly, Spartan nannies were widely admired for their brisk, no-nonsense approach. Yet, strict as they were, even they were put in the shade by the city's faculty of instructors. This had a role quite without precedent elsewhere in Greece, or indeed beyond. For the Spartans, in their concern to mould the perfect citizen, had developed a truly bizarre and radical notion, the world's first universal state-run education system. Why, it even provided for girls. Healthy mothers made for a healthy warrior race. In Sparta, girls were fed at the expense of their brothers. To the bemusement of other Greeks, they were also taught to read, and to express themselves not modestly, as was becoming for women, but in an aggressively sententious manner, so that they might better instruct their own children in what it meant to be a Spartan. They exercised in public, running, throwing the javelin, even wrestling. When they danced, they would do so with such abandon that they might slap their heels against the bare skin of their buttocks. For, yes, and here the disbelief of foreigners would conventionally reach boiling point, it was the habit of Spartan girls, as they trained, to sport only the skimpiest of tunics, slit revealingly up the thighs. Sometimes, horror of horrors, they might even disport themselves in the nude. The fertility of a future mother was best gauged, a Spartan might argue, by the glowing of her skin and the perfection of her breasts. Physical beauty, the long blonde hair and elegant ankles for which Spartan girls were celebrated, provided the readiest measure by which moral beauty too could be judged. Egalitarian though the Lycurgan ideal was, it didn't foster any notions of equality. The sense of frantic competition that made women wish to outshine their peers in beauty gnawed at everyone in the city.